May 31st, 2009, you're listening to the TeeFormers.com podcast. TeeFormers.com podcast, the podcast featuring all the Transformer news from, that place called Baca. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and with me is...
It's me, Kal-El Prime, standing in for the ever-lovable Z-Piper.
Yes, the ever-lovable Z-Piper's internet connection is down. Thus is the evil that is Comcast. But needless to say, David, he was kind enough to step in. And David, thank you again for joining us on the podcast.
Not a problem, sir. Great to be here once more.
So a little loosey-goosey here. We have BotCon, and I'm basically covering BotCon with the guys out west a little bit later tonight. But in general, I mean, what are your thoughts? It's an open floor. What do you like? What do you dislike? What surprised you? What didn't surprise you? You know, so far, what do you think of what's been going on out there at BotCon?
It's kind of a mixed bag, to be honest. I stayed around last night, and I read all of the panels as they were, you know, being posted up on various places and things like that. And I was surprised specifically from the Hasbro preview panel at just how much they're dedicating to Revenge of the Fallen. They even suggested at some point yesterday that the Revenge of the Fallen toy line could easily be going into the fall of 2010.
Oh, really?
Which just kind of boggles the mind, to be honest. I mean, if you have a TV series, okay, it runs for 12 and then you get the repeats and stuff. A movie, it's there in the cinema for a few months, then you have like a 6-month gap, then it comes back on DVD and all of that stuff. So it's not totally in the face. I'm just amazed at that. But
so you think it's a little bit of them putting all their eggs in one basket for a change?
Potentially. As I say, there's been a few revelations to come out of it. The only thing that's really irritating me about the Hasbro preview panel is obviously the first thing they obviously do whenever you go to these preview panels, it's like, right, no photographs, no video, no nothing like that. But then Hasbro don't officially release any images themselves, like straight away. And it's great to hear, you know, oh, we're perhaps getting a lockdown figure, which is, you know, lockdown from Transformers, the animated series, but done for Revenge of the Fallen. So him done real world. There's a bludgeon, which apparently, and it's great to hear all of these things, but until you see them.
Right.
And I always find that a little bit disappointing.
Well, I don't get why they do that to begin with. It's like, well, you're releasing them to a bunch of people in a room. It's like, what, you can't tell the rest of the world? It's like these people in the rest of the room have to sort of draw these things, you know? It's like, I never understand that, the idea that, you know, people can't take photographs and these things. It's like, you're making an announcement. It's like when Apple releases an iPod, they don't necessarily go, okay, everyone in your room, we're going to show you this new iPod, but when you can't take photos.
Yeah, it's absolutely bizarre because, I mean, another big convention which is going to be taking place, it's not so much a convention, but an expo, but is E3 starts for all of those people who are into their video games and stuff. That actually starts, I think, today or tomorrow. And they've got their big press conferences and their big announcements where they'll announce everything. But everything that they will announce, you know, will be online either the moment they announce it or within an hour of them doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand Hasbro probably wanting to, you know, curtail the information that is coming out of it. They probably don't want blurry pictures that people have taken, which kind of makes the toy look bad because it's being photographed off a screen and all of that stuff. I understand that. But why they're not releasing their clear photographs, you know, just handing them out to places like T-Formers and just saying, look, here are our pictures.
Right.
Go ahead and put them up.
Here's,
I mean, granted,
the press kit. I mean, you usually give away a press kit. And I don't understand that either. That drives me nuts.
I mean, BotCon's still going on, so that's not to say that at the time of us recording this that we may get something like that. But that just irritates me. The last thing as well, I suppose, that's come out of it, minus obviously all of the toys, which, you know, I'm sure you guys will cover later on, is I kind of felt like we may be seeing, given what Hasbro said about Fans Project, and about all of these, you know, these fantastic garage companies who've been making all of these, you know, City Commander and all of that stuff. I wonder if their days are now numbered. Hasbro seemed like they had finally crossed the line, so to speak. I believe they were referenced as saying that up till now, they've thoroughly enjoyed seeing these people do stuff, but now they're starting to severely impede on Hasbro's intellectual property. And so I'm starting to wonder whether or not the famed original toys that were supposed to be coming out, the Broadside, the Springer, I kind of get the feeling that
those might be starting to get curtailed because of Hasbro.
Yeah, I very much doubt we will see those now coming out. And I don't blame Hasbro in the slightest for that. And I don't think anybody who's listening to this going, oh, for God, like, you don't blame Hasbro. That's the one thing that I will say to everybody. Because it's so easy to pick on Hasbro. You know, you always get it online. You know, Hasbro sucks, Hasbro. Don't blame them. They are doing what they need to do. But I appreciate Hasbro for being honest about it. I appreciate Hasbro for not just out of the blue turning around and saying, oh no, yeah, we love them, we think they're great, and then like 3 months later just shutting them down. Right. So I appreciate their honesty in that regard to it. I thought that was, you know, a good thing, and I you know, if as much as I love the Fans Project stuff and all of that stuff, at the end of the day, Hasbro has to take care of themselves, especially now.
Right.
So if they do that, just if anybody's listening and anybody takes anything away from what I've said, don't blame Hasbro for it. It's not their fault.
Well, I think that might be along the lines, too, of why they're sort of consolidating some of the lines is just because, you know, they figure if they want people spending money on the toys, they want them spending them on the movie toys, because the movie is pretty much where we're going to be going for the next probably 10, 20 years.
Absolutely, yeah, and cool as well. It's nice that they've said, look, we got the confirmation, I think it was 2 days ago now, that Animated is finished, but it's nice that Hasbro have said, but look, we're determined to get the other toys out. They're definitely coming, and we obviously got the news that I was hoping for, which was Universe Classics will be back in 2010, and we got to see one new toy, which I'm particularly excited about. Which I don't know if you've seen this yet. Have you seen the? I think he's only been shown in vehicle mode so far, but it was a repaint of Universe Onslaught, and he's being repainted as Hardhead.
Mm-mm.
And I love his shield. I absolutely love it. It's got the Decepticon logo on, and it's got the red cross crossing out the Decepticon logo, and he's got his body counter going. Love it. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Granted, we haven't seen any new toys yet. As I say, there's no pictures, but we did get to see that on display, and I think that toy looks pretty awesome.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that they have a really good display of stuff that they currently we all know about. So, I mean, in terms of what I've read so far, it's like it hasn't been anything that we haven't seen before, at least until this point, in terms of we haven't seen the new toys. And there really hasn't been anything earth-shattering either. It's sort of like, well, they're sort of, you know, consolidating. We understand that. And I think the biggest consensus of what I've gotten so far is that a lot of people just sort of feel that this whole BotCon has been sort of mirrored by the death of Animated. And it sort of just put a very depressing tone on the whole thing, because fans just want to ask, you know, what happened. And Hasbro's pointing at Cartoon Network's pointing at Hasbro, and nobody's saying anything. So, you know, unless they're going to make some surprise announcement today that says, you know, anime's going to the new Paramount or whatever network they're doing, the new Hasbro network, then I don't think this particular BotCon's going to be that memorable other than just the BotCon before the second movie.
I mean, it's it is kind of disappointing because this is the 25th anniversary BotCon as well. It's a lot of people saying, oh, well, it's just before the movie. Of course, they're going to spend all the time talking about movie. But the other thing we've got to bear in mind is, yeah, this is like the 25th anniversary.
Right.
And yeah, it is disappointing that they're not spending the time to... you know, to dedicate to that as well. But ultimately, they're a business. They'll focus on what's current.
What do you think of seeing the original Unicron toy, though, from the Hasbro vault? I thought that was kind
of
nice.
That was nice. That was nice. I tell you what, I really wish they'd done, actually. I know this is probably, I mean, whether or not Hasbro even has access to all this, I'm sure they would. It's somewhere. But I thought, you know... In the display, I thought, how nice would it have been if they'd just gotten like a cross section of everything from the last 25 years?
Right, right.
You know, not every single toy. I mean, that would be insane. But, you know, just having all the way back and stuff. It was nice to see the Unicron toy.
I still would buy that today.
Oh,
I
mean, absolutely. Yeah.
You could tell, okay, it's not exactly the best thing from modern day toy design, but at the time that was really well done for at the time making a round planet transform into a giant. I mean, I would buy that model today if they actually started producing that, just because that would fit with the original G1 toy line on my shelf.
Yeah. It was nice. I don't quite understand why they focused on Unicron as much. I mean, obviously they've re-released the Armada toy in the Universe line. That's currently out. You can buy that now. Right. But then they also had the Cybertron toy, and I was like, okay, it's nice to see that one again. But you know, how cool would it have been if they just turned around and said, look, here's a whole bunch of unused prototypes that you know, and it's not to say that they haven't totally ignored it. I mean, we know now we're getting reissues of Perceptor. We're getting a reissue of the Insecticons, things like that. So they are, over the course of this year, going to be doing, you know, not just all of the movie stuff. Right. I mean, yeah, it is going to be completely focused for the majority, I would imagine, on it. But I'm impressed by their honesty as well. Even in the panel last night, when somebody brought up the fact that why are the Revenge of the Fallen toys more expensive? And,
really?
You know, they could have just easily turned around and said, oh, it's the economy. We'll blame it on the economy. And they're like, no. I mean, yeah, to some extent, they turned around and said, look, if we'd kept it at the same price that you wanted, your toys would be 75% smaller. Like, and you don't want that and stuff like that, and we don't want to make subpar toys, so we put the cost up. Right. And it's like, hey, you know, good for them. I think they've done a good job of, okay, apart from the animated of, like, who's to blame for canceling it.
Well, I think generally, you know, the fans aren't dumb. They just want logical explanations. And
yeah,
Hasbro's realized that if you actually get some people in front of them at this one-year big event, and sort of just answer, you know, the top 10 questions that people can't seem to get through, you know, that fans are pretty receptive to, like, okay, well, that makes sense. I understand that, and I'm okay with that. I think most of the time, even with the advent of the technology that we have today, and obviously Hasbro has to keep things quiet and protective and stuff, I think fans are just frustrated that sometimes they feel that Hasbro is not listening to them. But I think Hasbro is listening. They just can't execute every idea that everybody wants at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what people have to bear in mind is, like, okay, like, I'm a diehard, like, as far as I'm concerned, the best thing that Hasbro has done over the last few years has been the Universe line. And, you know, I would willingly just buy new Universe toys and repaints and things like that. That would do me. But, you know, you have to concede the fact that it's not the year for Universe. This is right. The year for Revenge of the Fallen.
Well, quite honestly, I'm happy with that because I could take a break on my spending. I got the last one I got to pick up on the Universe line that sort of fits the classics most is Darkwing. And then I'm done, which I'm like, great. I could save up money, maybe buy a couple movie toys, and then pick up the Universe line when they pick it up next year. So I'm actually happy with that because, you got to bring a series to some sort of completion. So it's, you know, because otherwise people just stop buying them.
However, cryptic on a cryptic one, Hasbro did mention that, or they did point out, which I'm very curious to see whether or not there will be something later on today. I very much doubt it, but there was a reference to a new cartoon show.
And that's what Hasbro, I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for them to make a big announcement on that today. Save the best for last.
Hasbro did point out that the new cartoon show would be of equal quality to animated, which thoroughly excites me. I mean, granted, they're not going to turn around and say, oh no, compared to animated, it's going to be rubbish.
Right.
And obviously that is ultimately in the eye of the beholder as to whether or not it is as good as animated. But the fact is they've already got plans, they've already got things in progress, and I think you might be right. I think they may look to move away from Cartoon Network. They may look, you know, obviously with them having this new channel, but again, if there's a new cartoon series in place, we may get a few design sketches, but again, we won't see anything, I don't think, until at least, you know, middle of next year, max.
I think they could do themselves, in my opinion, I think a great series would be, and I've said this a lot of times, is basically picking up the period between, for the Gen 1 cartoon, between season 2 and the movie. And basically pick up, and you could use the new molds, you could sort of, you know, go with that. And then maybe even pick up after, you know, an updated 2005 version. I think there's, if of course I say this thinking about the way they redid He-Man and how that only lasted 2 seasons, but I think that they could pick up with the original characters and do it, you know, sort of to continue that storyline. But I know a lot of people would disagree with me, but
I think most Transformers fans would be right with you on that one. Hey, yeah, like, let's go back to the old one and stuff. But then again, I mean, that's what all of the fans have been talking about since Beast Wars. I mean, even when Beast Wars came out,
right. There
was people just saying, why isn't it the old stuff? And you'll always get that. And yeah, you'd absolutely love it. But ultimately, I think if they are going to do something, they're going to bring something out that is as close to the movie verse as possible, without treading on the movie's toes.
A good point too, yeah.
But what I will say is, props to Hasbro, at least their panel was entertaining. The previous stuff that they had, the IDW panel, was a snooze fest. They failed to tell us anything about any, like, the only big thing that came out of that was that they said the 13 series is not going to be produced at this time, which is like, oh well, that was kind of the big one that I wanted. The Activision panel was complete and utter tripe. Everything we saw, everything we'd heard had already been released.
So nothing new at this BotCon, really, other than toys.
Yeah, exactly. And even then, I think thanks to Walmart a few weeks ago, when they had this deluge of stuff, I think they've taken probably a lot of what Hasbro had to show as well. Even if you look at the Constructicon Legends figures, which...
Let's hold off on that, because let's get to some of the news, because I want to talk about the Constructicons that basically do the smaller versions that do transform it and stuff, but we'll get to that. So let's jump in really quick to our pre-written skit here and movie news. The first thing we got is Revenge of the Fallen soundtrack listings, and thanks to Music Server, we have the track listings for the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen soundtrack. It seems that the soundtrack is off to a bit of a sad theme, including songs by Taking Back Sunday, The Used, Hoobastank, Stained. And you could take a look at the full listing in the on our website. Now, the interesting thing that I thought when I read this, I just got the new Green Day album and given it a couple listens, and you know, it's all right. I'm not quite sold on it yet, like I was American Idiot. But the interesting song that I thought was really good was the song 21 Gun Salute or something like that, and that's pretty much the second song on this album here. And I'm thinking this is going to be a big, by the way, spoiler alert, I'm thinking that's going to be Jetfire's end song.
Right.
So what do you think? I mean, does any of these, and the fact that Cheap Trick is doing the Transformer theme, I'm very curious to see what that is about.
I'll be completely honest, and I'll probably be showing not my age, but more necessarily my stubbornness here, is that I really have no idea who the majority of these bands are. I've heard of Hoobastank, and I think that's about it. Like, I've never heard of The Used, I've never heard of Taking Back Sunday. I'm not a huge music fan. The way I approach my music is I will listen to a song and I will go, I like that song, and I'll go buy that song.
Right.
And I don't attach myself to artists or anything like that. So ultimately for me, the Revenge of the Fallen soundtrack, I will wait for the orchestral version, just like I did with the last one, because I think, you know...
The orchestra stuff was great on the first movie.
That was absolutely mind-blowing, whereas I think, you know, used band music works all right to a certain degree.
Right. Well, I think it was the chase scene that it worked well, and I think the end music, it worked well. You know, there's a couple of top players in the soundtrack and whatnot, but I think that... Yeah, I'm very curious to see where the 21 Guns song is used. I'm almost guessing that's going to be for Jetfire's, you know, scene at the end of it. So, because you know, we all know what happens to him. But, oh wait a minute, do you know about this? I mean, should I be spoilerish on stuff?
I know something happens, but I don't know what, although I have my suspicions, but I'm keeping sort of, in terms of the actual plot, I am keeping quiet, or at least I'm keeping a low profile until...
Okay. Well, my apologies. I'll take that into further consideration as we go through the stories, because I keep forgetting we're getting down the wire, and it's interesting. I mean, it's pretty much, some people, we know the whole plot pretty much already, but I keep thinking that not everyone wants to know the whole plot, so my apologies. And listeners going forward, you know, if you don't want to hear any of the movie stuff, skip ahead to the next chapter if there's chapter marks in this version. So, but all right, well, that being said, moving on to, we have actual CGI renders of Power Up Optimus Prime and Mixmaster, which look pretty darn awesome, if I do say so.
I was not sold on any of the power-up, like, Jetfire/Prime pictures that we have seen up to this point, and those ones kind of sold me. He looked badass,
right,
as does Mixmaster.
Yeah, I mean, this one, at least, I think, sells at least the toy a little bit more what it's supposed to be, because what we've seen from the toy so far, it doesn't really look like it's like armor. It just looks like Jetfire gives, as the Piper would say, Optimus a big hug and jumps on his back. And this here, it's like, okay, this looks a little bit like Jetfire combines with Prime. So it looks a lot better here.
Right? Yeah, looks, they look damn good. Though I still question whether or not some of the Powered Up Prime pictures are actually renders as opposed to drawn artwork. I don't know. It doesn't look CG to me, but that's irrespective. They look damn awesome.
Well, what they do, I think, is that they basically do a first run in the CG, and this is basically the like the first quick render of it. If my computer graphics somewhat training is correct, I would imagine that this is what you would get if you actually, like said, render really quickly, just so I could get an idea of what this is going to look like. I'm really excited about the Constructicons, and going back to BotCon, I think the biggest news that came out of that was Demolisher and Scavenger are not the same robot. So
no,
I'm curious on, you know, I'm curious how that plays off. I'm hoping that's something not lame in terms of Demolisher's spark gets inserted somewhere else or something like that. I hope it's something like, well,
oh no, they've explained that. They've explained why there's two of them.
Oh, really? What was the explanation?
The explanation is that there are 7 Constructicons, but there are only 6 that form Devastator, but it can be any combination of the 6, of the 7.
Gotcha.
So while there are, so my guess is, and I could be wrong about this, and this is not a spoiler because this is just me guessing, is that we're going to see Devastator at least twice in the movie, once with Scavenger and one with Demolisher. I suspect that could be it.
Or either they're Demolisher is a separate robot that just scanned the same form, and Devastator is, you know, because I believe they're in, it takes place, the battle between Demolisher and the battle between Devastator seem to be taking places at two different points in the film. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I suspect the Egypt part will be taking part quite early in the movie.
Right.
And then suspect they'll, this is just going by the fact that in the video game, all the video game footage that we've seen, there seems to be at least two different battles with Devastator, one taking place in a city and one taking place in the desert. Right. Now, that's a video game. You can't take any of that, you know, for what it is. But yeah, they've explained that there are seven Constructicons, but only six form Devastator. But it can be, I don't know if they specifically said it can be any combination of the seven.
Right.
But they definitely said that two of them are interchangeable. So
the video game looks amazing too. If I do say so, just going off on a quick tangent, I may actually have to fork down some money and actually get a PlayStation 3 or something just to play it. But all right, well, I'll give you the next story here. Tell us about the LA Film Festival.
Yeah, Los Angeles Film Festival is going to serve as the host for the United States premiere of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Variety reports that Transformers was also premiered during the time frame 2 years ago. The same time frame 2 years ago. Revenge of the Fallen will screen in The Village on Monday, June the 22nd, 2 days before it opens nationwide, and what's that? 3 days after it debuts in the UK? Oh, yes, I said it. Sorry. a quick look at the LAFilmFest.com shows that you must purchase at least a Discovery Pass for $400 to attend the premiere. So if you've got a $400 to spare, or you're already a member of the LA Film Festival, then by all means, go see it.
Now, question for you. Why do you think that the other countries are, they're pushing up the opening day in the other countries? Why do you think that is?
I think, I really don't know. I mean, as it was, they were all coming out simultaneously. And then, yeah, they've pushed it up in the UK. We're getting it on the 19th, which is a Friday, which is the day that our films usually come out. But I've got no idea why.
Because it seems to me like you wouldn't want to do that because people would videotape it and download it, and then you would have it on the weekend. And I think the whole idea of the internet is sort of given the idea that movies have to come out everywhere at the same date. So I'm like, why are they doing this? This is really, really not going to help with somebody, you know, taking a camera to the movie theater and videotaping it that Friday.
The only thing that I can think of, and I don't even know if this makes any sense or anything, but it comes out on Friday the 19th over here. So you instantly get that period of the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday for the opening weekend. You then release it on the 22nd in the US, and I believe that's a Wednesday. No, that can't be right. It'd be Monday or Tuesday. And then you've got all of that week plus the weekend, so that when everything's correlated together, you can say the world's biggest box office opening weekend.
Yes.
But I don't even know if that makes any sense or not.
Well, that's sort of cheating, though, if they're saying we're going to wrap in 2 weeks into one weekend. I mean, I know Z Piper and I, we have a big, I mean, just, you know, to me, it doesn't matter if the movie is the top grossing movie every weekend. I know that's a big thing in terms of the news media. But if a movie is good, people will go see it. And I would rather see Transformers be like Titanic, where it lasts a whole year in the movie theater because people just keep going back to it, than everybody go at once. And then the following weekend, we have a huge drop off like we had with X-Men 3. I mean, to me, a good movie is something that people keep going back to because the kids have nothing else to do during the summer months.
I tell you what, I may have just come up with an idea. And I'm just Googling this now, ladies and gentlemen, to see whether or not...
Live Googling!
Let's just have a look.
Well, while you do that, I'll say make sure to check out our website, tformers.com. Make sure to check out Dave's podcast, the MoveBase 2 podcast. If you like...
Oh, no, it's not that either. Well, I thought it might have been that Harry Potter might have been coming out, but that's not coming out until July.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's like... I've got no idea. I
Are there any big movies opening that weekend? I think that's about it for a while, I think. I doubt
anything that would compete directly with Transformers.
Yeah, I think everybody sort of said, we're not even bothering opening that weekend because we know everybody's going to go see Transformers. So
yeah, it's a bizarre one, but hey, I'm not complaining.
All right, well, moving on, we have this is a cute little funny Transformers meets Terminator. Somebody did a quick little edit and basically combined parts from the previews and the movie and stuff, and you can go check that out at the website. And have you seen this yet?
I haven't, but then again, I haven't seen Terminator either. I was warded off by most people's opinions about the movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, not good?
Apparently, it's not a good movie. No.
Really? I've heard that. Yeah. Oh, I've heard. Well, that's the first mixed review I got then, so.
Hmm. Maybe we're on opposite ends of the spectrum. You're just getting all the good things, and I'm just hearing all the bad things. I haven't heard one glowing review for it yet, so I will pass on Terminator Salvation.
Okay, well then I'll just pass on that story. All right, so tell us about first looks at Revenge, Night BRC, and Stockade repaints.
Thanks to Yizzy 521, we've got our first looks at a couple of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen repaints. The unphotoshopped images are of Deluxe RC. The two repaints are Scout Nightbeat, an Autobot repaint, Decepticon Scout Dead End, and a silver repaint of Transformers Stockade.
Have we gotten any confirmation if these bikes combine yet to form RC or what?
Yes, I believe they confirmed it last night. But I don't think they combined to form RC. I think they just combine an RC as one of the... I could be wrong, and I may be, so don't take this as gospel, but I'm almost positive they did say at the Hasbro panel that the toys will combine, but they will not combine in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think you're correct with that. I think you are correct.
And I think they also said there is another repaint coming out as well of one of the bikes, but it's just going to be a repaint, I think. So I've got no idea.
What do you think of these toys otherwise, though?
Otherwise, yeah. I mean, they're fine. There's none of them that particularly jump out at me, and I say, ooh, I definitely want that. I don't think they're bad toys. I don't look at them and say, oh, I would never buy that in a million years. I just kind of look at them and say, okay, fair enough then. Yeah. That'll do. So, more repaints coming down the line, but were you really surprised?
Yay, repaints. So actually, I'm thinking that should have been in the toy news, but that's okay. So the last moving bit of news we have is LeBouf. Or as you call it, the beef, compares fallen Megatron relationship to the Emperor and Darth Vader. Well, duh. Geez, thanks for that enlightenment. Tell me something I don't know, you know? I have to say he's probably one of the most talented actors I've seen as of lately. But God forbid, don't let him go to an interview because he just sounds so stupid every time he's interviewed. the guy's great for improv on the set, but you know it's like you interview him, he sounds like you're talking to a 12-year-old kid. So
I unfortunately haven't seen this interview yet. Unfortunately, MTV refuses to share it with me because I don't live in the US, so I can't comment directly on Shia's interviewing prowess. However, you know, if he's coming out with things like, oh, yeah, our movie's like Star Wars, given like how unsuccessful Star Wars like has been in terms of like popular culture over the last few years, then it's kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, the first three movies, the last three were, you know.
If this movie was coming out in the mid-80s, you know, then... You know, even the one of the original, I think it was the Japanese... preview trailer that came out for it even said right on the trailer, you know, the original 86 movie was conceived in the epic tradition of Star Wars.
Right.
You know,
But what would you think about it? If you told somebody in the let's go back to say 1994, you know, and said, you know, it said, "Hi, I'm from the future. Dudes, I just want to tell you, George Lucas is going to take the best things he ever did and totally mess it up." You would say that's blasphemy. Oh, he can't do that, Lucas. No, but lo and behold, three movies.
Well,
later, I mean, it's debatable. Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, is it fair assumption to say the last three Star Wars movies did not live up to what everybody expected them to be, other than really great special effects?
I think the last three Star Wars films just failed to live up to what the fans wanted. As not a major Star Wars fan, I didn't find them too bad, but the minute somebody starts destroying my Transformers movies, then I will I will share their pain at that point.
Well, the Transformers, yeah, but I mean, we have the advantage of the Transformers. I mean, we're dealing with the top of the line special effects. I mean, stuff that was, you know, not possible maybe 4 years ago. You know, the perfect example I've heard people given is that the first Hulk movie, obviously, if they tried to do Transformers, then we would have gotten like the first Hulk movie. That kind of, you know, the computer animation has just gotten to the point now where it looks real, you know, everything looks real, every little tidbit. But before then, 4 years ago, it sort of looked real, but you could sort of, it was a little bit of, okay, we have to suspend our disbeliefs. But now it's like, you know, watching Transformers, the first movie on Blu-ray or HD, you know, DVD, you're just like, how did they make this look so gosh darn real? And, you know, literally this was an accumulation of people practicing at this art for years with computers before we got to this point. So, you know, I think that's the one advantage, as with the first Star Wars movies, is that for the first time, it was new technology that made that raised the bar. And I think that's what, you know, the Transformer movies are doing right now, is that they're raising the bar for everything else. Now, will they be able to carry that through? And maybe by the time we get to Transformers 5, The Search for God, you know, will it be royally suck? I don't know. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to carry it through, and hopefully they'll keep paying the Roberto Orci and Kurtzman a lot of money to make these, write the scripts. So, although that's a whole big debate too, if those guys actually write a good script, but I'll leave that for another time. So, I could tell you want to go off on a rant there.
No, I would put their Star Trek movie up as being one of the best sci-fi films I've ever seen in my life.
Oh yeah,
I think but I would say that, you know, writing Transformers is a difficult thing, I think, whoever you are. I mean, there's a reason why Simon Furman has pretty much been the one constant guy to write the Transformers comics for the last 20 years. So I don't think Kurtzman and Orci do a bad job at all. I will be interested to see Revenge of the Fallen, though, because you always hear it every time they do a superhero movie. Oh, well, the reason why the first one wasn't that great was because it was a case of we're having to introduce everything.
Right, right.
Now they've introduced it. They've got carte blanche. They've got a story that they apparently want to tell. We will see. But I don't think they're bad writers at all.
No, I totally agree with you on the Star Trek movie. And I think that this one, you know, I think this one will be the first movie. Obviously, I don't think anybody was sure if they could do what they wanted to do. And so they had some limitations. Now it's like, we'll go balls out because now we have no limitations. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious to see if this is what I'm really worried about is the third movie. Is the third movie going to end up being like X-Men 3, you know, where it's like, it's sort of like good, but it's like a generic version of what was good before, and not really, it's entertaining, but it's missing the finer details. And that's what I'm worried about. By the time we get to the third one, it'll be sort of like, we're just going to do the third one just to do the third one, instead of really saying, international dateline. So.
Yes. So tomorrow, well, yeah, whatever. It's closing anyway. By the time you've heard this, it's probably already finished. So tough.
And you haven't got it. Well, the other thing they announced, too, was they actually have a whole Matrix set featuring the entire complete series on 16 DVDs.
Yes.
So tell us about that as I'm oogling over the
graphics. Yeah, they've announced the pricing and things like that for this ultimate set. I don't quite understand why they're releasing season one only to be also releasing this set, but that's business for you. 16 DVD box set will retail for $140 US with tax in California, Indiana, Florida, and Kentucky. Whatever. It's kind of standard shipping and handling within the US and will be arrival on the 13th of July 2009. The cutoff for the guaranteed delivery for the 6th of July 6th. Canada's not left out either, so if you're up in the Great White North, you can still go ahead and get it. All you've got to do is just pay for the shipping. They haven't announced that there's going to be any additional features or anything like that, but given the amount of special features that they're putting on this disc, all this special set already, and given like how awesome the box looks, you really can't be expecting any more than what you're already getting.
Well, it has including brand new interviews and exclusive featurettes, concept art, archive Hasbro toy commercials, printable scripts, and collectible 60-page book. So I think it's pretty much what we've gotten before, with maybe a couple more interviews from people who were probably there at the time talking about the bits and pieces of, you know, trans. I remember seeing a clip from the other the just the G1 set, them talking about, you know, put the Autobots in on the ground, put the Decepticons in the sky. So So this looks really nice. I know that they were showing this off at BotCon. I mean, this I think would probably be 10 times better than the Rhino releases, probably up to the standards of the European releases that you guys got. And fortunately, I don't know if it's worth $140. I think if they lowered that down to $99.99, that would be a better price point for something like this. Because as much as I love the Transformers, I don't see having to replace my entire Rhino collection just to get two more interviews, you know?
I think, given the fact as well that you will probably see the special features on YouTube within a day of this set's release.
Right.
However, that being said, I am sorely tempted by this. I'm having a hard time not justified buying it.
If you don't have the complete series, this is something you should get. I mean, this is literally...
Oh, yeah. If you're new to the Transformers and you want to know like what all of the older people like are raging about how it wasn't as good now as it was back in the day, and you want to prove them wrong, then just go buy this set.
Right.
You'll thoroughly enjoy it. There's some absolutely brilliant episodes in there. Be prepared as well. There's a lot of tripe in there as well.
Right. Well, it is an 80s cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Some of it still holds up brilliantly. Some of it not so much. But you know what? I think for the price point of $140...
Yeah, for me, that's a bit much. I could do $99.99, just under $100. I think I could buy this. But $140, I'm sort of like, I don't know. So
I would have said $140 if they'd included some of the Japanese series as well.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing too, is that there's a lot of people that are hankering. Although the like you said, there's actually there's a couple fans who have translated the Japanese series and stuff. Which, by the way, I still haven't found yet. I need you to find me that when you get a chance. But I know there's a lot of people that just are saying, we want to see the Japanese Headmaster series. You figure they would release that at some point as well, even though it's, you know, completely dubbed.
I have no idea why. I honestly have no idea as to why they would not have released it already in the US. We got it in the UK a couple of years ago now.
Right.
In fact, wait a minute. That set's been out probably for about 3-4 years now. Australia's got it. I just don't understand why the US just haven't got it out. It's a bizarre one, and I think, you know, maybe this would have been the perfect opportunity to do it.
Now, is that set that you guys got released, is that the original, is that in Japanese with, I mean, what are they speaking? What language are they speaking?
They have the dreaded dub on. The Star dub is on there.
Okay.
Those
are the ones, however, for the India shows, right?
Sorry?
That's the ones that they had the terrible people saying,
yes,
was Billy and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely. But what was nice was, is that the company in the UK who released those, which was Metrodome, they actually hired somebody in to translate all of the episodes and give it a proper professional sub. So it's not perfect by any means, but it was there, and it was well subbed as well. So it was a good set, all things considered. And if you can still find the Headmasters box set, I believe the original first season, well, the Headmasters came out as a complete collection, so did Master Force and Victory, but the Headmaster set was region free as well.
Oh, really?
So if you're in the US and you can go find a copy of it on eBay, it will play on your DVD player. Master Force and Victory, for whatever reason, they encoded those ones, so you would need to either watch them on your computer or something like that. But they were good sets. The later ones, Master Force and Victory, they didn't have the dub, so you had to sit there and watch the subtitles. But then again, it's the only way to actually experience that show. You cannot, unless you're into hurting yourself. Cannot watch it with that dub.
Subtitles don't hurt. Yeah, I don't mind subtitles as long as I can actually see the animation. So
yeah, I think maybe Shout Factory, you know, they're playing it very safe with this one. You know, get the set out, make a lot of money off it, and maybe, you never know, maybe if this goes down well, they will go ahead and do it. But $140, that is quite expensive.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's other than that, we have no other cartoon news because obviously Animated's canceled. So on to comic news. And I'm sorry. Toys and Games. Revenge of the Fallen Dead End Gallery. And we got pictures of Dead End. Of course, as soon as I clicked on that, I lost what I was talking about. Thanks to Yaya B, we have our first in-depth gallery of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen Deluxe Dead End figure. The figure is a repaint of Sideways mold from the same line and gets a remolded head to boot. The black parts of the figure are actual pieces of black plastic, while the red details are painted. Hasbro also adds some additional details to the robot mode and painted the right hand of the figure. Painted the right hand of the figure and his saw blade weapon. So what do you think of this toy real quick?
I love it. I think it looks absolutely gorgeous. I'm really digging Sideswipe's design in the movie. And the fact that they then turn around and go, oh yeah, and we've got this red Sideswipe repaint. And you're like,
Right.
Sideswipes
or Sideways?
Oh, sorry, Sideways. Okay. I'm thinking of Sideswipe because he's getting a red repaint as well.
Right.
I think the Sideways, it looks really, really nice. And the biggest problem I had with Sideways was, in terms of his actual toy, is that his color scheme was just a bit random.
Right.
So this one kind of sort of ties things up a bit better for me. I think he looks nice. I think he looks, from what we've seen of him and things like that, I think he looks good. I just... In terms of the Revenge of the Fallen toys, I'm still debating what to buy and what not to buy. I think ultimately if Sideways comes off as an awesome character in the movie, then I'll be picking up Sideways straight away.
Right. Yeah, I have a big issue with buying toys that actually die in the series. It's like, why am I going to buy Jazz when he's dead? As a little kid, that would make no sense. Oh, he's dead. But no, he's not. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, because as a little kid, you'd be like, your friends would go, well, Jazz is dead. So when you'd be like, I'm stuck here with a dead character, you know, I mean, that never made sense to me. But
I don't get the feeling this happened often to you. Like, it sounds like there's a lot of pain behind behind what you're saying.
Oh, you have no idea the pain. It's like, you know, let's, yeah, I have all the characters that are all dead now thanks to the 84 movie. It's like, great. Prowl, my prize guy. Prowl's dead. What are we going to do?
Well, to be fair, what were you really going to do after the 86 movie? Everybody was dead.
Yeah, you know, and that was the weirdest thing, too, because to go off on a quick tangent, I remember coming back from that with my grandma who took me and just going, wow, just I didn't know what to think. I'm like, why did they do that? I'm like, what do I do now? It's like all the characters I knew are dead. I'm like, are they going to bring them back? I was like so confused. It was such a traumatic thing for me as a child. So once again, a little foresight's 2020. But I mean, seriously, who the hell was writing that script? So. All right. Well, Hasbro also launches Kitchen Transformers series with Revenge Scout Ejector. And we're exaggerating a little bit, but Hasbro is indeed producing a figure with the alternate mode of the toaster for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen toy line. They have been spoilers about regarding what takes place in the kitchen of the Witwicky household. And, well, this may just be one of the figures here. So, I, to be honest, I have not seen this yet, so I am opening this, and you will get my initial reaction as soon as which, by the way, the website's probably getting hammered right now because everything's just running slower than molasses here. So,
well, just while we're on the subject of him, while you're just having a look, Ejecto, like, they're making a toaster. there's nothing more you can say other than he's a transformer who transforms into a toaster.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's just like awesome. It's
how many
it's
people
great.
Wanted the Mountain Dew guy after they saw the Mountain Dew? They're like, oh, we want the Mountain Dew. He's, you know, he's getting his own comic. I would buy this guy, born mindless and driven by heat pulsing in his body. Ejector knows anything about how to burn. Well, there you go. Even when he was a simple toaster, burning things was what he did best. Now that he's got a simple mind of his own, the flamethrowers to go with it. His life's a torch, everything around him. Okay, I like this.
I think it's just, it's ridiculous that I love it. It is very, very fun. I give Hasbro credit for just doing something wacky.
Now I'm looking at the robot. The robot isn't as blue as what's on the back of the card. So I'm hoping that the robot's painted like he looks in the back of the car, because the gray one looks kind of lame, but I really like what I see on the back of the actual car. And if that's the actual toy, then I'll throw down money for the little cute humor things, because those are conversation stars when people come into your house. They're like, what's that? That's the Ejector, the toaster. And they're like, what? I'm like, from the movie, you know? So I'll throw down money for this. So, but what do you think, Dave? Cute, fun?
I would easily throw down money for a transforming toaster. That's awesome. I would specifically throw it down for Ejector just because I love his bio as well. It's so ridiculous. He was a bad toaster that used to burn bread. So now that he's a living sentient robot, he will burn everything else. You know, it's
I love too that they actually have the bios down pat with what happens in the movies. For a while there, we were just, you know, here's a repaint, just throw in anything. You know, they're being very consistent from movie all the way down to the toys, and I really appreciate the details in that with Hasbro. So So all right, well, the last bit of news is we have Welker and obviously Cullen talking about the Revenge of the Fallen game, and once again, they never play anything of him sounding like Megatron except one short clip, so I still have nothing to go on in terms of is he still able to do the voice. I'm once again saying he can if it's proper modulation, but it's like okay, yay, we love working with each other, we're glad to be back together, and still people still pay us to do these voices. It's like beyond that, it's like yeah, and they're like, wow, computers are really amazing, they could do all these things, and we're all like, yeah, and it's like, I don't know, I tend to think these things sort of make these guys look a little bit old.
I wish, you know, there's two things out of this clip that we saw. One is, I wish somebody could just sit these two down together for a decent lengthed interview. Right. Like, these guys seem to, you know, be genuine friends with each other. They seem to have good chemistry. You know, when they're on screen together, they're messing about and things like that. Like, why are these videos only like a minute and a half long? For the love of, like, somebody just sit these guys down. I think they're both on the Shout Factory box set in the round table, so that would be quite nice. But I would just like to hear them talk.
I would just like to sit them down and go, did you guys ever think that when you started doing these characters that the fans would, you know, 25 years later, people would be such in love with your work? And how do you feel about that? And, you know, do you get frustrated with fans? Do fans, you know, get crazy, you know, do you get craze fans, or do you just generally appreciate everything that comes your way? And, you know, I would ask them, you know, as you guys get older, you know, with all due respect, does it get harder to produce the voices? You know, do you find yourselves having to warm up a little bit more, or as have you learned tricks of the trade? Have you, as you've gone on, like musicians, of getting around things that come with the onset of age? You know, there's just a ton of questions I would love to ask them. You know, Hasbro, you know, let me interview them. You know, that the, you know, as a true fan of these guys throughout the years, you know, I would be like, what, you know, I would ask, you know, simple things like, what do you guys eat for breakfast in the morning? You know, and, you know, stuff like that. Because whenever they get calling at the, you know, at like at BotCon, you always have the fans say, what is your favorite episode? Well, they don't remember their favorite episode. You know, for them, it was a job. They go in, they read a bunch of lines. They probably never even saw half the episodes. You know, they're not like Shatner or Nimoy or some of the Star Trek people where they're actually into it as much as they, you know, are, you know, like the Star Trek people. You know, a lot of the voice actors, they just go in and it's a daily thing, you know, so they don't remember it. So I get annoyed when fans ask him that, and he's, you know, he's like, well, to be honest, I don't remember it, because, you know, it was a job to them. But, you know, you can ask him things like, you know, you guys have produced some iconic voices, you know, does that make you feel all warm and tingly, or does that bother you? I mean, you know, there's questions like that that I would like to ask them, so.
The other thing about this video, which if anyone's listened to the podcast that me and Andy do, or I might have even said it on here as well, is the one thing that I've always said about Peter Cullen is it's nice to get him back as Optimus Prime, but he is Peter Cullen 20 years later.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound the same, but when he did that Optimus Prime voice in this video, the neck, like the hair on the back of my neck stood up because it sounded almost perfect. At least the closest I feel that he sounded like Prime in the last 20 years that I've heard him.
Well, see, that's... I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I was, like, literally, I was goosebumped. Because, you know, you're absolutely right. We are the fans and things like that. But I'm not above the fact of holding these people in such massive regard as to say, Frank Welker sounds like Megatron. He doesn't. Like Megatron doesn't sound like this. Like,
their voices have definitely changed. I mean, you compare the 86 movie Prime to the movie Prime. Prime sounds older. I mean, it still sounds like Prime. And the same thing for Megatron. It sounds like they're an older version of their cartoon self, which is fine because I could sort of do it with Prime. Megatron, I could sort of do it as well. But it's one of those things where it's like people say, well, he sounds just like he. It's, I'm like, there's a little bit of tonalization that they sort of need to do. But, I mean, you could fix that in post-edit and stuff like that, which is the you know, that's the job of the soundboard engineer. And that's like when I did that, I actually did that one comparison with Welker with the first video game and then the clips from him doing the voices of the comic adaptation, anime adaptation. And once again, Welker could still do it, not as good as he used to be able to, but I think Megatron relies a lot on the sound engineer hitting the right buttons to make the sound of Megatron sound more robotic than just an old voice like this. Because it is an old voice, but there's a little bit of a robotic twinge thrown into it. because he hit it dead on, I think, with the voice he did for the comic adaptation for the DVD set from Walmart. I thought it was like, that's the Megatron I remember as best as possibly he can do it. But then you heard what he did for the cartoon, for the first video game. I'm like, that sounds horrible. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I agree with you. It's like, it's you know, Peter Cullen can still do the voice, but it is a little more, it's an older Optimus Prime.
Yeah. And, but that's still not to say that, like, you know, you don't get excited when we hear this, because we do. We, you know, it's these guys for us are, I mean, but no, yeah, I mean, we get excited whenever these guys go off and start talking about, you know, what it was like for them back in the day. But yeah, I think people need to understand as well is that, like, these guys aren't Transformers experts. So
no, they're not. they're voice experts. Now, did Welker Cullen do GoBots as well?
Welker did GoBots. I don't know if Cullen did. Cullen's obviously quite famous for doing Eeyore in Disney's Winnie the Pooh and things like that. But, you know, Welker did Scooter. And he did Wheelie as well. So, you know,
who did Psykill? So didn't somebody do Psykill?
Unfortunately, sir, my GoBots knowledge is that of a pooer. I hate GoBots.
You know, that's a box set I really want to get. And because, you know, a lot of people give GoBots crap, but I really enjoyed that show as well. And I would really like to get those cartoons in a high quality format, because I thought, you know, granted, they weren't up to the Transformers standard, but I still was thoroughly enjoyed as a kid watching GoBots as a little tyke. So. All right, that being said, let's quickly move on to comic news, and thankfully I got you here to talk all about this great comic goodness, so which is one story, but you can fill me in with what's going on with comics in general, since you are the one of the comic experts.
Well, Revenge of the Fallen adaptation number 3 has got a 5-page preview up. Now that we've calmed down from our total freak out of seeing the rendered powered up Prime goodness, we can report in a non-slated way that Comics Continuum has posted a 5-page preview of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen movie adaptation 3. One of the two covers that is available for this issue gives us a bottom-up view of the combined form of Optimus Prime. This comic is out on the 3rd of June. I can't unfortunately comment on anything because I haven't read it, and I won't until I've seen the movie, and I won't look at the 5-page previews either. So we are in exactly the same boat when it comes to these. I just have no idea why they're putting these out in advance of the movie.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, too, is that they release the individual comics, and then, like Ender said from last week, they release the entire movie paperback. And you're just sort of like, timing.
Yeah. I think basically what they're doing is they're releasing them first so that the people who don't care about being spoiled and want to know about the movie can read it in advance. But that just really irritates me, because I just feel like you should let the movie come out and then you should release your trade. But until then, you know. All Hail Megatron issue 12 is coming up, so that'll be the one that I'll be reading. And then, as I say, once the movie comes out, I'll go back and read some of these.
Now, a quick summary. What's going on with All Hail Megatron? They're wrapping that up in Coda, right?
Yes, we've got one more issue left of the actual 12-issue miniseries, and then that 12-issue miniseries has been extended by 4 issues, so it's now 16 altogether, and it's Coda, which will be 2 11-page stories per issue from different artists and different writers, basically explaining away some of the things that Shane McCarthy didn't get round to explaining, and apparently setting up their next big story. However, at the IDW panel, they failed to explain what that was. So
right. Well, I mean, you guys, when you were talking about, I know a lot of people have commented on how great last episode, All Hail Megatron number 11 was. So I think that maybe the entire series, as much as the did you get a chance to finally interview what's his name for your podcast and ask him the questions you were wanted to ask him?
Not yet. He emailed me today, so hopefully we should be interviewing Shane McCarthy sometime this week.
Okay.
Which will be really, really cool because there's a lot of things I want to ask him about the process of how the series came about and things like that, and hopefully get some answers as to some of the negativity that surrounded the book and obviously some of the fantastic positive stuff he's done. So stay tuned, and hopefully that should be up shortly.
All right. Well, and I'll give you a chance to plug your podcast here in 1 second. But first to say that T-Formers is now on Facebook and Twitter. So if you're on either of those systems, you can go and get updates and all that jazz if you are one of the modern individuals that live in the generation of needing to be constantly updated. As soon as information hits the interwebs, then go subscribe to T-Formers now on Facebook and Twitter. That being said, Dave, tell us about your wonderful little podcast that we all thoroughly enjoy.
If you don't know, both myself and a fellow YouTuber by the name of Cobra Commander TFW have set up the Moonbase 2 podcast. We are over a year old now, so we're, I wouldn't say experienced in any way, shape or form, but we've certainly been doing it enough to realize that people seem to like it, so we keep doing it. We have, this week, we are finally finishing up our endgame review, so the last animated review will be up. We cover all the news, just like Anthony does, though I hardly say we're as organized. But if you want to pop over and visit the forums and things like that, we've got a nice little forum going and things like that. Google Moonbase 2 podcast. That's probably your best bet. And that's about it, really.
And if you want in depth to, like, they go frame by frame with some of these previews, and I'm like, good God, man. I mean, these guys are the in-depth ones to go to. So go check them out, the Moonbase 2 podcast. Mr. Kello Prine, I thank you once again for your participation. You're excellent, as usual.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me. I'm off to go and start hitting refresh on T-Formers because the panels should be starting anytime now, so I'll just be stuck in front of a computer hitting the refresh button for the next few minutes.
So you're the reason why the site's had a crawl. So
probably, yes.
All righty. Well, thank you again for joining us, folks. This has been Iron High 1975 with
Kal-El Prime. Sorry, I was hitting the refresh button.
All right, folks. Have a good one.
Dark, excessive, time limited.
T-Formers.com podcast is copyright 2009 T-Formers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@T-Formers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.